we're going to look at tonight. In Ephesians chapter 6, you can turn over there, Ephesians chapter 6, and then we're going to look there. This is where it talks about the armor of God, and that armor of God that we need to put on. Now, we as believers, we should not be surprised when we're attacked by the enemy, because when you accepted the Lord as your Savior, you signed into the army of the Lord. And I was thinking that song a little bit ago. God's got an army, oh, marching through this land, deliverance in their souls, healing in their hands, everlasting joy. Oh, a lot of us don't have that, but the everlasting joy and a gladness in our heart. Oh, that's the part that we have trouble with, an everlasting joy and a gladness in our heart. But in this army, I've got a part. But when you're in the army of God, anybody that's in the army know that an attack can come at any time. Yet we're in the Lord's army and we are surprised by the attack of the enemy. We shouldn't be surprised by the attack of the enemy. Amen. It's when we let our guard down that we're surprised by the attack of the enemy. And I think back to, I think it was in whatever year it was, I'm not a good historian, but when they gave the attack on Pearl Harbor, was that 1942? I want to think it was 1942. You history buffs that are here, you can straighten me out. And the reason that attack was able to happen is the enemy was ooing us and talking with us. And not very long before that attack happened, the Japanese delegation was here in our country meeting with the leaders of our country. They had ooed us to sleep, and we thought they were our friends, and the whole time they were our enemies. The enemy of your soul and my soul will do the same thing to us. He will approach us as though he's our friend. We'll make an allegiance with him. We'll line up with him. We'll make a contract with him. And we think we really got it figured out. And then he turns around and he really puts it to us. And they put it to us. I think it was in 1942, December 7th. I could be mistaken. It might have been December 6th. Sorry, you history people, but we know that attack happened, and it took us by surprise. There are many Christians that receive an attack from the enemy, and it comes as a surprise to them. Hey, you're in the army. What do you think's going to happen? What happens in the army? There is warfare that goes on. And so let us read verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 6 tonight, and you can read down there through the rest. Maybe I'll read them. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, let's start at verse 10. It's all good, but we're going to dwell on 16. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. A lot of us have trouble getting that down. And then we got to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the schemes of the devil. He has a scheme against every one of us to bring us down to our knees, that we might be able to stand against that. And then we know this, we say it, we hear it, but do we really believe it? We need to really understand verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, even though it's flesh and blood that's giving you the trouble. It's your own flesh and blood that gives you trouble at many times, gets you into situations that you shouldn't be into. We don't wrestle against that flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the demonic activity that's all around us. It wars against us. You go into the country of Haiti, you can feel the demonic oppression that is there. When Brooke and Kyle and Eric were in the Dominican Republic back in October, I don't know if they went into any areas there where they could feel the demonic oppression, but you go into Haiti, you can feel a spiritual heaviness that's there. It's a horrible feeling to have, because there's spiritual wickedness in high places, and there's spiritual wickedness that's going on in the area of the country that we live in. There's spiritual wickedness that's coming out to attack each one of our homes. There's spiritual wickedness that's coming out to attack each one of our lives. The devil wants to pull us down. He'll take us down as a church all together at one time, or he'll take us down one at a time. He doesn't care how it happens. He just cares that it goes down, that spiritual wickedness. So because of that, take on to you the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God. Put it all on. You can do a study on this sometime, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, that you may be able to stand in the evil day when the attack comes, that you'll be able to stand, and having done all to stand. When you've done all that you could to stand, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet showed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And this is the verse we want, 16. But above all of these things ahead are important. The loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet showed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Those are all important, not belittling them. But above all of those things, verse 16 says, taking the shield of faith, that wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Why don't everybody say all the fiery darts of the wicked? You can get 99.9% of them, but if that, you know, one tenth of a percent, if that comes against you, that brings defeat. We can quench all the fiery darts of the devil, and he's shooting fiery darts at us. Has anything ever happened to you? And it's an expression that people use. You might say something to them, and it can be a serious thing, or it could be something that's dear to them, and they'll say, oh, that was right in the heart. Oh, that hurt me. That was right in the heart. That's right where I'm living. That's what the devil is after. That's what the enemy of our soul is after. Those fiery darts that he shoots at us. Amen. Fiery darts from the past. Weapons that the enemy uses against God's children is your past. He wants to remind you of your past. He wants to remind you of your past. But when the devil starts to try to remind you of your past, and you begin to think about your past, and it could be your faults and failures to make you feel like you're nobody or nothing, or he will remind you how that mean or seemingly good Christian people shot a fiery dart right in your heart. Something that just hurt you. You were making an effort to serve God. You were beginning to serve God. And then somebody does something or says something. And it's like, wow, that was right in the heart. That really got me. That's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to get us where we have a soft spot. And so first of all, what we need to do is hold high that shield of faith. Because it says there, taking the shield of faith. Where it says, wherewith, meaning that shield of faith, you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the devil. Wouldn't it be great? Amen. You'll be able to extinguish every dart the devil sends your way, every discouraging thought that he sends your way, every fear and doubt that he sends your way. You would just be able to put the squash on that and it wouldn't even affect you. You can do that. Amen. By that shield of faith. Amen. Does that sound too good to be truth? Attacks that come against us. All of us face the attack of the enemy. He comes to us in many ways. Wouldn't you just like to live in a way and in a day that you didn't have any attack from outside? That it was just easy sailing. You were living on easy street. You were blessed coming in and going out. You were able to bless others and you received no attack of the enemy. That's not going to happen while you're living here upon this earth, because the devil is not going to give up. And I wanted to add this. And when the devil begins to remind you of your past, if you want to get him to shut up about that, put up that shield of faith. And there was a song that was written about it. When the devil begins to remind you of your past, remind him of his future.
Yeah.
And see how he likes that. Because we know what his future is. He is going to be bound forever in the bottomless pit. He'll remind us of our past. Remind him of his future. Remind him of your future in Christ. Amen. That'll put the kibosh to the attack that comes on you from the enemy. And so if holding up the shield of faith, amen, when holding up that shield of faith, you can defend yourself spiritually. You have to defend yourself spiritually. I can't defend you spiritually. I don't face the demons that you face. I don't face the spiritual wickedness in high places that you face. You don't face what I face. It becomes a time where it's one-on-one battle in this army of the Lord. And that happened in the Civil War. There was war. There was general war. They're just firing their muskets and the lead balls are flying and people are dying. But there was some of that combat that was one-on-one. It was one against the other. And I guess they call them the muskets, the spear, the knife that's on the end of the gun, and they're stabbing at each other. Amen. And that's what we have to do to the enemy. We have to take him on one by one.
Yeah.
I got to fight against the devil. I can't fight against the devil for you. I can pray that God gives you the grace to stand, that God gives you the wisdom to stand against the attack of the enemy. But it's your battle. You got to fight your own battle. I can't fight your battle for you. If we were in a real warfare and the enemy were coming against us, and I was in a hand-in-hand combat against somebody, and you're standing over here, and I'm fighting this battle here, I can't come over and fight your battle. You've got to learn to stand on your own and be able to put the devil in his place. Amen. And with this shield of faith, you will more than defend yourself. Amen. The scripture tells us that we can extinguish the fiery darts the enemy sends our way. And back in the day, there's other analogies that we could use now because of all the technology and the different things that we have. But back in that day, they were familiar with the fiery darts. And so what the Roman soldiers would do is they would take their shields. Their shields were made of wood, and they were heavy shields. And they would soak those shields in water. And if you ever picked up a piece of wood that's waterlogged, it weighs a lot. And the purpose and reason that they did that is because when the enemy would shoot arrows with them, they would wrap cloth or something on the end of their arrow and put some type of a flammable liquid. Amen. I guess they weren't the green people like we want now, everything green. Amen. And they would set that on fire and they would hurl it towards the Roman soldiers. And when that fiery dart or arrow would hit that soldier, because that shield was saturated in water, it would put out that fiery dart. It wouldn't do any damage to them. Amen. Well, spiritually speaking, we need to be saturated with the Spirit of God. We need to be saturated. This here says, take the shield of faith. Amen. The shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to be saturated with the Word of God. Amen. Know the Word of God. Know the Word of God inside and out. Amen. The elementary school, when you go there, they drive it in the kids. They're not in school very long. Maybe now they even have to know it before they start school. And they teach them their ABCs from A to Z. They teach them to count from 1 to 30. And there's some basic things. They teach them their colors. They want them to know their basics. Amen. And we as children of God, we've got to get the basics down in the Word of God so that you can defend yourself. There's not always going to be somebody there to help you. It's going to be between you and God and the enemy of your soul that's shooting that fiery dart at you. It's not always going to be convenient. You're not always going to be able to call somebody and say, hey, help me. Hey, pray with me. It's nice when we can do that. And there's nothing wrong with doing that when we feel weak within ourselves. But if we get ourselves saturated with the Word of God, amen, that'll build faith up within our hearts. It will realize it's just a ploy of the enemy. He's just bluffing me. And he's one that bluffs a lot. And you heard the stories. Amen. People have told them all over the years. We all have a fear of a lion. I wouldn't want to face a lion. But if I see a lion and that lion has been declawed and that lion doesn't have any teeth, I'm not going to be too afraid of him. He can come. He can gum me, I guess you would call that. Amen. He can swat me with his paws, but he's not going to do much damage to me because he don't have any bite to himself. And it's the same way. If we get into the Word of God, amen, the attack of the enemy won't have any bite on you. It won't do you any harm. It won't do you any wrong. You'll be able to stand strong in Christ. We can more than defend ourselves. And so in Ephesians 6:16, the shield of faith is of utmost importance, because the starting of that scripture says, above all, above everything else that's here, the most important thing is taking the shield of faith. With that, it says you will be able to quench or put out the fiery darts of the wicked. He wants to get you right in the heart. He wants to remind you when somebody doesn't treat you quite right. A fiery dart comes when somebody starts to gossip about you a little bit. They have no business doing it. But we as believers, sometimes we let the guard down and we're not careful. We can find ourselves being busybodies in other people's matters. And we can be so in discord among the brethren. And anybody that's doing that, they don't think they're doing that. They've been deceived by the enemy. But that could be a fiery dart that comes against us. Amen. We have to take that shield of faith. So we'll be able to put out the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, he wants to put division in us. He wants to put discord within us. He wants to put fear within us. That's the kinds of things that he dwells on. He wants to put sickness within us.
Yeah.
He wants to put questions in our mind. And one question that he wants to put in your mind, whatever situation you're facing, you hear all the preaching, you hear the word of God, and you know he can do anything, but then he puts that doubt in our mind. Can God really help me? Can God really take care of the situation that I am? Another one that the devil uses against us, the fiery dart, is this: God doesn't care about you. Because if God really loved you, like they teach down at that church, if God really loved you like you think the Bible says he does, and then why is this happening in your life? Why is that going on? Why are you having such a hard time? He's trying to sow that seed of doubt within your heart. But if you're saturated with the word of God, you're going to be able to stand against him. And so if we look at this verse, it says in the middle of it there, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to. Wherewith ye shall be able. Amen. In the Greek phrase in that, if you go back to the more original Greek, that could easily say that ye shall be able. You shall be able. And if you look deeper into the Greek, it would say, above all, taking the shield of faith by which you will be dynamically empowered. When we take that shield of faith, it's a dynamic empowerment that we have. It's not us doing it anymore. It's Jesus working in us. Amen. Fighting against the enemy, because I can't fight against the enemy. The devil's got more power than I'll ever have. Amen. But when I have Christ in me and I let him work through me, there's a dynamic empowerment that takes place in me, and I can speak to the devil and he has to flee. Amen. I can plead that name of Jesus. I can call on the name of Jesus and the devils are going to tremble. I can call on the blood of Jesus and the power that's in the blood of Jesus. Amen. I can see things begin to happen. And so when you use, amen, when you lift up that shield of faith, when you use that shield of faith, and you look at this, taking the shield of faith, and if you have that shield of faith, you're going to have to lift it up. Amen. Where that shield of faith belongs. And we hold up that shield of faith. All of a sudden, we have a divine energy to stand against the enemy. Somebody that's holding up that shield of faith, and we've all had it happen in our life. We look at somebody else in the circumstance, in the battle that they're facing, and we're thinking in the natural, that's a hopeless situation. That's just not going to work. Death is going to come to that house. Death is going to come to that situation. It's going to be their financial ruin. And you talk to the person that's in the middle of it, and they're talking nothing but positive thoughts, positive talk. Why? Because they're holding up that shield of faith. Amen. We have a divine energy to stand against the enemy. Nobody wants to stand against the enemy. I don't want to stand against the enemy. I'm a man of peace. I don't like arguments. I don't like discord. I just want everybody to get along, but there's always going to be an enemy there. Amen. If you hold up that shield of faith, the enemy can't get through it. Amen. That shield is the faith. That fiery dart can't get in there and do the damage. Amen. That shield of faith, it fortifies me. Amen. If I hold up that shield of faith, it's like I'm a spiritual tank. And if you get to the natural army, there's some tanks that they have. I mean, you can't permanate those things. They can go anywhere. They can do anything. And there's tanks that our country has that other countries don't have what we have. And they fear what we have. You can't permanate them things. And when you're into the word of God and you're armed to the teeth, amen, how are we armed to the teeth? By holding up that shield of faith. Amen. And we move forward and we don't know what losses are. That's when it works and we say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have to hold that up. Amen. But what happens? Amen. Because we hold this shield, doesn't mean that the devil isn't going to try to stop you, because he's a silly boy. He knows he can't defeat us. He knows God's a greater one, but that doesn't stop him from trying to convince us that he's got more power and he's stronger than what we are and he can pull us down. But what we have to do, even in the midst of that, when he makes that attack against us, we have to hold up that shield of faith. And we're going to quench the fiery darts of the devil. That means we're drowning them in water. That means, and I talked to you about this already, the water-soaked shields of the soldiers. Amen. They kept them in water. They soaked them in water. They were always preparing for battle. Are you always preparing for battle spiritually? Or you're just, I'm just going to ignore it. I don't believe in demonic activity. I believe in the divine power of God. God will watch over and keep me. And there'll be nothing that will ever come against me that with Jesus in me, that we won't be able to win the battle. You're kidding yourself. Amen. There's a song that was written. We're in the battlefield, brother and sister. It's not a recreation room. It's not a party. It's not a big potluck we're going to and just going to enjoy ourselves all the time and feast on the Word of God. You are going to face the attack of the enemy. You come to church on a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, you feel pretty good in your spirit, but you go out into the world, the attack of the enemy starts coming in against us. That's the way he does it. We stay spirit-filled, amen, we stay spirit-filled, and we'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the devil. We have to stay filled up with the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Let the Word of God work in you. And I think of another song. Oh, the Word is working mightily in me. The Word is working mightily in me. And then it goes on, and I don't know the words, but I know the Word is working mightily in me. If the Word is working mightily in you, those fiery darts, what the devil meant for bad, God can bring a blessing out of it, because the enemy's trying to discourage us. Amen. The Word. Amen. The Word will put out the potential for damage. When you're attacked by the enemy, are you going to let it damage you? Are you going to walk around? Are you amongst those? And there's many Christians, and I've heard sermons on this before, they're the walking wounded. They've been wounded by the enemy. They've been wounded spiritually. They've been hurt spiritually. And they have those battle scars and they carry them with them. Or are you going to lay those things down? Amen. And put out the potential for danger. The fiery darts, I talked about what they were. It was an arrow. The tip of it would be wrapped with a fabric and soaked with flammable fluids and it would be set on fire. If I'm standing here and you're shooting arrows at me that are on fire, I don't want to be standing here like this. I want to have some kind of a shield. You know, I could pick this up and try to dodge some of them, but the Word of God tells us in that spiritual battle that goes on, if we hold up the Word of God, that shield of faith, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. This thing isn't going to pull me down. I'm going to win this. And so often the fiery darts, when we think of a fiery dart, we think it's the big bad thing. The devil's really going to do the big bad thing. But when the Japanese came over and met with the delegation in Washington before Pearl Harbor happened, and it wasn't very many months before the attack that they were over here posing as our friends, but in reality, they were shooting out a fiery dart against us. They were gathering information. They were gleaning information. Many times, we don't recognize the attack of the enemy. There's things that happen, and it seems so small and harmless, and we think, that can't do any damage to me. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm not going to let that pull me down. But it has a way of working on us. But when it strikes the heart and it strikes the emotions, we're all emotional, and there are certain things that all of us, there are certain subjects that all of us are very sensitive about. Very sensitive. And the enemy, I'm not saying he knows, but he's shooting those fiery darts trying to find that sensitive spot in your spirit. You need to pray, God, those sensitive spots in my spirit, make me strong. God, let me be strong in you. Let them be saturated with the Word of God. So when that fiery dart comes, it'll be put right out by that shield of faith. Because the devil wants to strike us where it hurts. Where you're strong, he's not going to strike us. And so the damage, and then what happens? Amen. When it strikes us, we explode with a human passion. I just can't take it anymore. I'm losing it. I'm done. I thought God cared about me. Why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to get news like that? He knows where to hit. He hits you where it hurts. And we're all different. He could hit me in an area that you're sensitive to, and it doesn't bother me a bit. I'm just like, get out of here, devil. I don't take that from you. But if he hits you with the same thing that he hit me with, it might pull you down. And that's what he tries to do to us. And it causes very serious damage to us. And it could all be avoided if we would hold up the word of faith and douse it with God's word. Amen. Soak your faith in God's word so when the surprise attack comes, you're able to stand. We don't like to talk about, I don't like surprises. Well, if it's a blessing, that's a different thing. But we don't like to be surprised with bad news. Nobody does. You don't enjoy that. You might fear that. You might dread that. If you get a phone call, we're adults here, and you younger ones might not know this yet, but if you get a phone call from somebody, and the first thing they say is, are you sitting down? Expect the worst. Because normally they got something really bad to tell you. They got something really bad. So we need to be careful. Amen. Because the enemy, he attacks our health. He attacks our finances. He attacks our marriage. He attacks our children. He attacks our family. He attacks our job. Amen. There's certain areas that we're all sensitive about. And you'll find the fiery darts will have no impact. Amen. Because if your shield of faith is soaked in the word of God, people can attack you. They can. Your finances can be attacked. Your marriage can be attacked. Your children can be attacked. Your family can attacked. You can have an attack on the job and you're going to stand steadfast and sure, and you're not going to be moved. You're going to be unmovable and unshakable. Amen. Always abounding in the work of God. Amen. It'll have no input. Refuse to be the enemy's victim. And I don't have a whole lot more here. Refuse to be the enemy's victim. He's looking for victims.
Yeah.
Those that were injured in action. You know, Vietnam War, MIAs missing in action. Don't become a POW to the devil, a prisoner of war. There are a lot of Christian people walking around and they're a prisoner to the devil because he's holding something over them. And we've had it said before about adults. You see things going on in the workplace and you'll see somebody do something and you'll think, wow, how can they get away with that? They must really have something over on the management or the boss if they're allowing them to do that. The devil wants us to be his prisoner. He wants to quash you. He wants to quiet you. He don't want you to be out there for the Lord. And so refuse to be a victim. Amen. Refuse to be a victim of the enemy. The last scripture that I'm going to share is in 1 Peter. You can turn over there if you'd like to. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're just going to read two verses of scripture. And this was written by a man who faced a fiery trial. Okay, this was written by a man who faced a fiery trial, and I'm just going back to verify this. Amen. The authorship of this book, it says, in spite of the epistles claimed to have been written by Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, there's some critics that object that Peter wrote this, but I think Peter did. And so Peter, he faced a real fiery trial, and he has some advice for us in chapter 4 and verses 12 and 13. And I've alluded to this already. Beloved, Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And so going back to verse 12, don't think it's a strange thing. Amen. The fiery trial that's come to try. Well, that's a strange thing that happened to you. It says in verse 12, as though some strange. Boy, that was a strange thing that happened to me. Look what Peter faced. He denied the Lord Jesus Christ, not one time, not two times, but three times in the same night. And he was one of the ones that was very close to Jesus. He was in that inner circle with Jesus. There was Peter, James, and John. They were there when a lot of the things happened that the other disciples weren't there. He was close to God. And then all of a sudden, he has this big fiery dart, this fiery trial. Are you going to stand for Jesus? I don't even know that man. In the Word of God, one of the books tells us that Peter, he cursed and he swore. Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, as though some strange thing happened to you. And then he goes on in verse 13. When that fiery trial comes, we're supposed to rejoice. God, I'm rejoicing. I don't know what you're about to do, but I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice in the God of my salvation. And does not the Bible instruct us that the joy of the Lord is our strength? I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. You know what we need to do sometimes, spiritually speaking? When the enemy attacks us, we need to laugh in his face. Literally laugh at him and say, "Ha, devil, you think you got me there. You don't got me. I got you right where I want you, and you're going down. And I'm going to remind you of your future and what's going to happen." We need to take it to the enemy. Amen. We need to have joy. Amen. Down in our hearts and in our souls, we need to rejoice. We belong to God. And when we belong to God, and I shared this throughout, that means that when you belong to God, you're in a battle. Nobody's excluded. Even those that are just newly into the kingdom of God. They're a soldier that don't have a lot of experience in the armed services. I'm sure when the new ones come in, the older ones with experience take the younger ones under their arms, under their wings, and they protect them and they guide them. And we are to do the same thing spiritually with the newborn babes in Christ. Amen. Christ has a special protection for them, just like parents do for the newborn. A mother loves all of her children, but she has more protection for that newborn than she does for a child of hers that's 18 years old. She's more careful about that young one. She's going to watch them. And spiritually speaking, God watches over the newborns. He cares about them. There's a special protection there. So when we're in this, amen, you belong to God, it means you're in a battle. Peter faced a fiery trial. He was a disciple of Jesus, and he failed. So, not giving you the, I don't want you to have the impression, well, it's okay if I fail once in a while. It's just going to happen, because Peter was a disciple of Jesus. He was there. He's seen all those things. Peter walked on water. I never walked on water, and Peter failed. So, it's okay if I fail. God understands it. No, you don't have to fail. Peter faced a fiery trial, and he failed. Peter doesn't want you to do the same thing. And that's why he said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, when a fiery trial comes against you, don't think it's some strange thing that's happening unto you, but rejoice in the Lord, for God is working for the greater good in your life. And to be victorious, amen, in this life that you're living. Just three quick things that I have written down here. We have to lose the shock factor. Don't be surprised when the attack of the enemy comes. I think when we went into Iraq back in 1990 or whatever year it was, 2002 or one, whenever we went into Iraq, there goes my history again. I think it was 2002 or three or something. One of the wars we call, when we went in here to take them, it was called Shock and Awe. We just wanted to send in so many weapons, and things are blowing up. There's big fireballs in the sky, and we wanted to intimidate those people. And we, if we want to be victorious, we have to lose the shock factor. Like, wow, man, I can't believe that happened to me. I can't believe that happened to me. Job, he lost the shock factor. His wife didn't do so well with it. We have to lose that shock factor, and don't be surprised when the attack comes, because you're in a war. You're in a war. Attacks are going to happen. It's not just going to be, I gave my heart to Jesus, I'm going to sail into heaven, and then I'm going to be on mountaintop after mountaintop. Listen, there are people that are facing all kinds of things. There are churches that are facing all kinds of things. There are leaders in churches. There are ministries that are facing all kinds of attacks of the enemy. And you would look at that and think, man, where's God at in that? But that's the job of the enemy, to attack us. So we have to lose that. I can't believe this happened to me. What's going on? Lose that shock factor. And the second thing we need to do, and there's one more after this, we need to recognize God's hand, because God works all things together for the good to them that loved him and that are called according to his purpose. At the moment something happens and it's not a good thing, how can this be for good? Trust the word of God. God works all things together for the good. God always has a purpose for the things that happen in my life, in your life. We don't understand it at the moment, but most of us are old enough, we could look back through some valleys that we've come through before. We didn't appreciate it when we were there, but then we can see the good that came out of that, what God was working in our life. Amen. Because what God is doing, he is testing, he is refining, he is purifying, he is sanctifying us. Amen. He's taking impurities out of us. He wants us to be pure before him. He wants us to be genuine, and we need to recognize God's hand, the purpose of these trials, the purpose of these fiery darts. And then the last thing we need to do, when the enemy comes, when the war comes, we need to embrace that fiery trial. Say, devil, you want to bring it on? Bring it on, devil. I'm ready for you. I'm ready to take you down. Amen. Don't be surprised in verse 13, but we are to rejoice. In the book of Acts chapter 5, Paul was beaten and he was left. Amen. Not Paul, but Peter was beaten and he left the presence of the council. And it says he was rejoicing because he was counted worthy to suffer dishonor for Christ. Amen. He was worthy to suffer dishonor for Christ. So the fiery darts are going to come. It's what you do with them. And the devil likes to discourage us. And he keeps pounding. He keeps hounding. And I'm sort of, by nature, my sisters can be quiet. So can my wife and children. But by nature, I'm an agitator. I like to agitate. If I find out you got a soft spot about something, if I find out there's something you don't like, I'm going to be just poking you all the time in that thing that annoys you and you don't like. That's the way I am. So, not many preachers would say this, so I guess I'm a lot like the devil. Okay? Because that's what the devil does. He finds an area in your life that's sensitive, something that you don't like, something that annoys you, and he just agitates you. He just keeps pounding and beating. We all have strong areas in our life. We're bringing on devil. We're thinking he's going to come for the strong areas, but he goes for those weak spots that we have. Amen. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Sister Bonnie can come down to the music. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. And let's sing that little chorus that came to me right here at the end. It has the words in it, then restore, refire, rebuild, revive, and power, and God revealed that I don't even know what the words in me. Sweet Spirit of God, come into my heart. Amen. Give yourself to God tonight. You know what you faced this past week. That's obvious. Okay? You should be awake. You know. None of us know what we're going to face this week. None of us know what we're going to face this month. None of us know what we're going to face this year. I trust and I want everything in my life to go good and wonderful this year. God only knows what's going to happen. I have to hold up that shield of faith and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And I also have to realize that the enemy's coming for my soft spots. He's coming for those things that annoy me, those things I don't like. That's where he's going to pound me. He's going to pound me. He's going to pound me. And he's going to do the same thing with you. But you have to hold up that shield of faith. Amen. And just dedicate yourselves to the Lord.